to do a part one of something. I think we're more interested in the part two, but we can't do part two without doing part one. So tonight is for the record. Sunday will be the one that I think we find more. Let's see here. Turn to Romans 16. This is a little part of Paul's, what I call his pattern. You know, where we've got prayer. We've kind of rearranged it lately here, just kind of, we realized that one of the first things Paul ever did about anything was to pray. And we know that Paul cared enough that he had tears for those that he was praying for, and he didn't quit. He told us about praying without ceasing. You probably wonder why. There it is. And part of that pattern is we've got prayer, we've got tears, and then we've got grace. We need to have grace with people, each other especially. And then we also make sure that when we get into these situations or we're talking to people or even just for ourselves, that we also have truth involved. What good is truth? What good is grace for people if they still don't hear what the truth is about whatever it is that you're dealing with? So tonight we're going to look at this avoid from such withdraw and all those different ones we have. We have prayer, we have tears, we have grace, we have truth. Can't leave truth out when you're still talking to the people with grace. Otherwise you're ignoring, and we can't ignore. Mercy, long-suffering, patience. But then we see in there where he changes his voice because he has doubt about who these people he's talking to. Then he has rebuke, and then he has a reprove. We get into those things. That's still something that needs to be done even with Paul, with Paul's teachings. Then we have this long list of avoid, withdraw from such, turn away, not take heed from, and not strive, and that list. Then we have where he turns him over to the devil, turns him over to the world, turns him over to unto Satan, he says, to kill their flesh and learn not to blaspheme. But there's that whole series in there yet where we get to the point where we still hear this. You've heard me say it a number of times. These people we should mark and avoid. And I still recognize the fact that that's probably the hardest thing on, well, one of the hardest things on the list. It's not hard to pray for people. We're probably too busy. And to give tears because of certain people is probably a pride issue. If you're too busy to really care, and so we just pray to pray, there probably won't be any tears involved. And not that there always has to be, but the way things are looking, this is a hard time. We can give grace to anybody because we expect grace for us, but to put the truth in, that's tough sometimes too, because the truth is very, it can start a war, but if you give it with grace, I mean, we still have to have truth. And then we know the mercy and the long-suffering, we know that. That's not supposedly so hard necessarily. Patience, we still hope that they get it someday. To change your voice, that comes easier depending upon the situation and the time. But you know the stuff about avoid and reject and shun and withdraw? That's tough. So I thought what we would do is we'd look at them again real quickly. Like, I thought instead of just looking up like all the verses, we would look at who it is we're supposed to avoid and withdraw. Take your pick, whichever one you want to say. Avoid, reject, shun, withdraw, not strive, neither give heed, purge, be not partakers, have no company with, cast off, have no fellowship with, reprove and rebuke. Those are two tough ones right there. Reprove and rebuke, if you want to do the South Dakota thing, I suppose. But instead of doing those verses, I'll if you don't have them, you need to have them written down. Just like we said for the Tobiah thing, parents towards their children, why can't we do some of these things that seems right, Dad? Well, son or daughter, this is what we have to do. We need to mark this. We need to avoid these. We need to reject. We need to shun. Whatever the case is, here's the list again. Withdraw, not strive. Don't give heed. No, don't listen to them. Purge. Be not partakers. Have no company with. Cast off. Have no fellowship with. Reprove and rebuke. Those are the words that Paul uses. And then if we look at these things, we can see who he's talking about. But I was thinking the last couple of days, you know, as we look at those verses, we tend to forget who these people are. or what these things are that Paul is telling us. We're so shocked that we have to not do something. We can't be around somebody, or we have to avoid or have no company with all of a sudden. And so instead of going through all these verses, and they're online, and I can give them to you if you want them, but let's leave the references out tonight, and let's leave out all the individual ones as far as this particular subject, and then this particular subject. Let's just look at who these people are we need to watch for. And I'll give you the references later. What are these things we're supposed to watch for? What are they? Well, here we go. And then we'll go back and look at those things, not individually. I'll just give you the reasons why. And they won't be associated with anything specific. These are just reasons why we should be careful and do what Paul says for these people, who they would be. And then we'll look at the fact that, well, I didn't think we had to worry about anything like that. And then this coming Sunday, we'll look at who we should look to. So that's the hard one. You know, you can't watch TV. Okay, then what should we do? And the thing is, okay, you can't do this, you can't go out with them, then what should we do? You can't do this, what should we do? So we'll try to look at the other side. And I would say it's the positive and this is the negative. But really, it's the fact that we're being warned to stay away from people that will hurt us. That should be positive. You know, really. But it's not usually taken that way. For example, here are who or whats. Here are the whos and the whats. Okay, we're talking about people that will cause divisions and offenses. Okay, divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. What's that? That's Paul's doctrine. And you've learned the gospel's doctrine. You learned the doctrine of the Old Testament. You've learned the doctrine of the tribulation. You've learned the doctrine that comes out of Revelation. So anybody that will cause division and be offensive and get into the squabbles over doctrine that they don't agree with what you believe to be rightly dividing, which the Bible states what it would be, then those are some of the people. Now remember, prayer, tears, grace, truth, mercy, long-suffering, patience, then you get into all these issues. Don't forget, this is all part of that. How far do we go? Well, we'll see here. Here's another group. We're to avoid those that speak profane and vain babblings. Well, what's profane and vain babblings? According to Paul, it's anything that's not rightly divided. It's profane and vain babblings. Now, I would imagine we have to work with these folks. We've had to learn these things ourselves. We still probably fit some of these categories here. So that's why we have prayer, tears, grace, truth, mercy, long-suffering, patience. That's why we have those things. But there may come a time in your personal life or your family's life, father, or kids, as you grow up, you may realize that, you know, the Scriptures say I shouldn't be here. The Scriptures say I shouldn't be talking to these people. I've been here, I've gone over this, and they're starting to drag me down. Most of the time when we're being dragged down, we don't recognize it, but somebody else around us would. But you don't want to be told that. Having a bad day? Well, no, I'm doing fine. But you don't realize it. So when it comes to spiritual matters, profane and vain babblings, that's some of the people. Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Science things. Science says all sorts of things against God anymore. Those that ask foolish and unlearned questions. Or is it just the foolish and unlearned questions we should stay away from? Genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law. Is it just the people or is it just those things? Well, according to the Scriptures, it would just be those things. A man that is an heretic. That's just a faithless human being that has no faith whatsoever. Or he's got a horribly false teaching. Cultic. We're talking about the JWs tonight. You get into that situation, you can try. We'll save all that kind of stuff. We can try, but after, you know, a couple of times, it's like, you're not going to get anywhere. We got that at the booth all the time those years. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. So now we have somebody who's not going to be teaching wholesome words. And otherwise meaning the words of Jesus Christ. Because it says here, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's that? That's different Bibles. Different teachings of what Jesus said. So that's an issue. And then he says, unto the doctrine which is according to godliness. So we know that godliness now is not length of hair, length of skirt, even if you're wearing a skirt and that's not what godliness is at all. Godliness is a continue. It's actually the truth of what Christianity is. So anybody that's contrary to that, it does not teach that, we're supposed to stay away from. Yes, but they've got an awful lot of good things to say. I know that. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Or in Daniel it says, running to and fro. How does that go? Learning, ever learning? No, that's the Timothy one. Daniel, running to and fro. Yeah, something like that. Seeking knowledge is running to and fro. So there's people that are learning. And we can learn from these things, but there comes a time where we have to get past the mercy and the long-suffering and the patience, because it's going to start hurting somebody. How about this one? How about this one? Every brother, we're talking family member now, every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. What tradition did he receive from Paul's teachings? That's what tradition, his teachings. Orally passed on. When you draw the line, well, go down the list. Prayer, tears, grace. Don't forget the truth that's in there. And then you've got mercy, long-suffering, patience. But there comes a day where you change your voice. You've got to get into this thing a little firm. And if that still doesn't work, we go through this list of avoids and withdraw and get away and have no fellowship with and da-da-da-da. And if that doesn't work, then you've got to ship them off to the world and just get out of there. So I'm not saying that every time these kind of people pop up, because you wouldn't be able to say boo to anybody. Even in here, there's something that each one of us could probably justify you for not talking to us, I suppose. No, but these are the things that Paul does say. These are the people that we're supposed to watch out for. Here's one, they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine than what? Paul's. Paul talks about it in Galatians chapter 1. Well, Pastor, that's just about everybody. Yeah, it is. Don't forget, you can pray. You might have some tears over it. Don't forget grace. Don't forget the truth, though. And then you've got long-suffering and mercy. You've got all those things in there. But there comes a time where you're going to have to say adios. Fables and endless genealogies. What's the problem in genealogies? Well, we've kind of come up with the observation that the genealogy issue is this apostolic doctrine stuff, the Baptist brighter stuff, the Catholic stuff, where everything's passed on or passed up from all the way down to John the Baptist or somebody. You know, Peter all the way up. Everybody's been touched by somebody that's been touched by Peter. Or you got, it's just a crazy thing. So you stay away from that stuff. We got one here where it's just called the old leaven. We need to get away from the old leaven. What's that? The old leaven, that's just the way things were before we got saved. Before we realized this Bible says what it says. Put that stuff away. Why? Because leaven will do what? It still can tear us down. Still can tear us down. Leaven is the whole lump. Talks about wood and of earth and some to dishonor. And we'll see why we should do that. That word there is purge. Get to that in a minute. We have people that speak vain words. Words that mean nothing. Just words that mean nothing. I think they're called politicians. But there's probably more people that are like that. Here's one. If any man obey not our word by this epistle. Who's got the epistles? Paul. If any man obey not our word by this epistle. People that are against Paul really aren't supposed to be in our ballpark, nor should we be in theirs. But don't forget, you can pray, have grace, with truth. We can't leave the truth out. And then you've got mercy, long-suffering, patience, no big issue. But there does come a time, reprove, rebuke, change your voice. It's fine, you've got to get away from this if need be, if it's causing some damage. We have here where it talks about where the people, or in this case, the thing, works of darkness. What's works of darkness? What's dark? That's the world without God. Okay, so, well, I'll tell you, just about everything we do anymore has got the world attached somewhere in there. Well, be careful. What do? Pray. Grace. Don't forget the truth. Mercy. Long-suffering. Patience. Not a problem. May have to change your voice eventually. May have to reprove and rebuke. Comes a time you need to get away. Then we've got here where they warn about Jewish fables. I suppose you could go into the Jewish teachings. You know, you got to do all these dinners and all these celebrations and feasts and things. But I don't know, a Jewish fable, to me it could very easily be the Great Commission taught today, because that's a Jewish teaching. That's how I look at that. So we got to be careful of that. And then it says they throw in here the commandments of men. Then we got this long list. Who are these people? Well, people that are lovers of their own selves. We're kind of all that category. We kind of like, listen to how you talk to somebody else and see if you talk about yourself more than you listen to them talk about themselves. If you got two people that don't want to talk about themselves, then they probably won't have much to talk about because the other one, you see what I'm saying? If this one isn't going to talk about himself, is going to be concerned about this one. And this one isn't going to talk about themselves, be concerned about this one. Neither one are talking about themselves. You might have just a quiet, calm conversation. You might even cut it off by about a half hour, if that's possible. So lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And the power of music is what? For those of you that know that musical, that cantata, you start singing this thing. Another one of those things. So the music melody comes back while you're saying that verse. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. What's incontinent? Here we go. Not restraining the passions or appetites, particularly of the sexual appetite, indulging lust without restraint or in violation of law. Look at what's being lawfully allowed in our courts, in our country today. Incontinency. It's just getting radical and wild and crazy. And they're not stopping it. Anyway. Fierce. Despises of those that are good. Why would you hang around somebody who despises what you do? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. By the way, we are going to have a test on this Sunday. I'm into this thing. It's fun. It's good for me to write these things out. It reminds me, and it ought to help you kind of do a little test on yourself at home. So that's quite a list. That's quite a list right there. Well, I think we're aware of that. But here's how I think this to be more important. Why? What's the problem with these people? Oh, here's the problem. They are that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They're into the flesh. They just do it for themselves. Or they talk about it for themselves or whatever. Well, it says here that these people, by good words and fair speeches, will deceive the hearts of the simple. Who are the simple? Well, I claim to be simple. That's not, I don't make that hard of a claim. But our children are really simple. They don't understand a lot of things. So whoever these people are, whatever these things are that I just read to you and that Paul warns about, they could actually deceive our children's hearts and ourselves. And it's done by good words and fair speeches. How do you think the guy got elected? You know? Nobody has to pay for their mortgage. And they voted because they believed this guy for that stuff. Now you see in the paper where it says he's already making the claims, my promises can't be fulfilled yet. And he says, we're going to have to suffer more. Boy, would he have been elected if he'd have said that before the election was coming around? No, he knew what to say. Just amazing stuff. Here we go. Why should we pay attention to these people and these things? Because it says the works are unfruitful. I went down to the garden. I didn't, but I went down to the nursery the other day, down to a nursery tree place. I asked him, I'd like to buy an apple tree that will not produce any fruit. Oh, I don't think we have any of those. Well, okay, let me get a cherry tree, but I don't want it to produce any fruit. No peaches, no nuts. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. But I do want those kind of trees. Well, sir, that's pretty odd, isn't it? Well, it would be pretty stupid to buy a tree that you want to have fruit, but you don't want to have fruit on it. So we have works that are out there. We'll do things that have no fruit. Unfruitful. Then he warns about having erred concerning the faith. Do you want to err concerning faith? Do you want to be wrong? You want your kids to grow up wrong with this stuff? Well, see who they hang around. Do they gender strifes? Get in arguments when you talk about this stuff. Well, unfortunately, we've become famous. The King James guys have become famous for arguing and getting strife and offensive situations started. And that's really too bad. Been there, done that, and it's not the way it should be done. But there are people out there that are looking for a fight. And we can talk to them. Just show them your Bible. No need to fight with them. That's what they want to do. We don't need to get into fights. It says here that these people or these things or whatever are unprofitable and vain. Well, sure, let's spend a whole week on that. Unprofitable and vain. says here, knowing that these people or this thing, this person in this case, he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned to himself. The guy is lost. And what does it mean to subvert? To corrupt, to confound, to pervert the mind and turn it from the truth, to overthrow from the foundation, to ruin utterly. Well, sure, let's hang around those kind of people. Let's see if maybe they can't subvert my children, totally turn them against me. Maybe somebody can turn the parents against the children. Maybe that's where the subversion has taken place. Maybe the pastor subverted against the people. Maybe the people have subverted against the pastor. Maybe within your family, uncles and aunts. I mean, who's getting overturned here? Who's losing everything? Who's being corrupted and perverted? I'm so afraid of our young people that we have today, knowing the world that's coming, knowing the laws that are changing, the lack of influence that parents have legally. Many of them do it by volunteer, but they'll become legal challenges eventually. That our kids would be subverted by this modern Christianity, by this fun Christianity, by this music that appeals to the flesh. Because whatever complaining goes on today, to turn them against what this church and this preaching and this Bible represents and Paul's teachings represents, to turn them away from that, that they will be subverted into this modern Christianity. That scares me. That just scares me. To think someday that our girls wouldn't be girls. Our boys out there might not be boys. I mean, it's really, it's not abnormal anymore. I read a thing the other night about, it's a pretty good article actually, about Obama and the Generation Y, the millennial bunch now, they call them the millennials, which they're getting ready for. And he talked about how when Bush is done, he pretty much represents the end of the baby boomer crowd. And I guess that's kind of true. That's kind of us. You know, that he's kind of a bridge between there, his age-wise, but his philosophies and the people that are following him are a new crowd of people in America. It's a new American. Constitution means nothing to them. They weren't taught the Constitution. Right and wrong doesn't mean anything to them. They weren't taught right and wrong. This really does represent a huge change in America. I'm so afraid that our children, even our church people, even people out there, they get frustrated in trying to do these things, and that they would let that modern stuff subvert them, pervert them, turn them from the truth. Here's some more reasons why. Well, they will increase into more ungodliness. This is more religion, more baloney religion. It says their word will eat as does a canker. Okay, look up canker. We know what a canker sore is, but let's see how they said it here. It's a virulent, okay, corroding ulcer, or anything that corrodes, corrupts, or destroys. And that makes me think of our little Volkswagen in New York. It had the little front, and so in New York they put some kind of chemical that hates metal all over the roads. And the front of the car was just corroding and eating. And there's so many people had cars out east that you could see the highway going by on the floor here, you know. What do we call them? Is there a name for them? That's a different part of the world, country, for those, the Wienermobiles. Okay, I thought there was a name for our cars out there. And you just didn't have a nice car unless you drove it once in a while. And that's corrosion. I mean, seriously, you can reach down and clean your fingernails along the highway in some of these people's cars. It was amazing. That's what a canker will do. It'll just corrode. It'll just eat away. And what's that? That's profane and vain babbling. It'll just eat away at us. This modern Christianity eats away at us. Now, a canker is sore. But a lot of what's eaten away out there is not sore. It's kind of fun for the flesh. Another reason why? Because these people or whatever will overthrow the faith. Do you want your children's faith overthrown? Do you want your faith overthrown? Then there's a long list here that talks about these people. Why? Well, they're proud. They don't know anything. They know nothing, he says there. They're doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy? Strife, railings, evil surmisings. What's their surmising? What's their surmise? Suspecting. Imagining upon slight evidence. You ever surmise? You get one little clue. You know, I think that's going to destroy America. And you get into this, you just go bonkers. but evil surmisings. One little clue comes up. Well, you know, I think that guy, one little whatever, may have nothing to do with it, and you sit there and you figure out, I think I know what's going on. That's evil surmisings, based on some little evidence, if anything. Evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. And they're destitute of the truth. Boy, sure can tell. I believe the Bible. You know, people that go to Bible college and ignore rightly dividing, or rightly divide wrongly, based on verses instead of the books themselves, like Paul says, they're destitute of the truth. Because they think you need to confess to get your sins forgiven. They think that you can lose your salvation. They think you need to obey the pastor or God will burn your house down. All these different things that are taught, these people are actually destitute of the truth. They suppose that gain is godliness. Well, is that the American way or what? How were we doing? How much money did we make last year? Well, then we're doing really well. You could be doing really bad and still making a lot of money. And you could be not making much money at all, barely surviving, and really doing well. So that's a problem. It says here that they strive not about words to no profit. They just wasted vanity words. Again, to the subverting of the hearers. We got people that will talk to us that will actually destroy your children, destroy you, if you let them. An example with your grandma in the hospital. Everybody has to deal with a hospital chaplain that comes by. And do you know what that guy represents, or that lady represents? A cult, or a false religion, or just baloney teaching, and he wants you to pray them. Sorry, ma'am. Sorry, sir. We do fine. Da-da-da-da, you know. Leave your King James Bible on the stand, and they'll probably leave pretty quickly, or whatever. Just that they're subverting the hearers. Minister questions rather than godly edifying. That's always exciting. Not that you're not going to hear a sermon or read something and come up with questions. But if somebody's going to constantly ask you questions, and you answer them, and they never listen to the answer, ever been around that? They're just ministering questions. There's no edifying going on there. Then we have purging. Why? We need to purge. Why? Well, here's what purge means. To cleanse or purify by separating and carrying off whatever is impure. That's pretty good. So we need to purge. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Why should we step away? Because now we're a Christian. Now we understand Paul. Now we understand our Bible. We should step away from that. We really should. Walk as children of light. Another reason that some of this situation should be the reason why is so that they will be ashamed. It's not us that should be ashamed. They should be ashamed. And then you don't talk with them. Have no company with. Withdraw means I can't talk to you anymore. Tobiah. I can't do that. That answers your question too, doesn't it, LD? That would solve that whole issue. If we would follow up on that. We want to help somebody be sound in the faith. We want to help somebody turn from the... We don't want to help anybody turn from the truth. We've got people out there that could turn us from the truth, if you're not careful. Their mind and conscience is defiled, it says. Why do you want to... Well, we still got grace. I know, we still got grace. We still got mercy. Got to have truth in there. That'll kind of stir them out a little bit. Don't mean it to. And you can pray. You can have tears. It hurts to see people not get it. Long-suffering, patience, of course. Comes a time you got to change your voice. Comes a time you got to... prove and rebuke. There comes a time we're supposed to have no company with. We're supposed to just drop it and get over it, get past it, knowing that we're obeying the Scriptures. If things get so bad, off they go. Why? These things, well, another reason why is because they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Probably doing a good thing wrong. Doing right, wrong. Remember that long time ago? Doing right, wrong. Doing wrong, right? Still doing wrong, anyway. Being abominable, which is extreme, and disobedient and unto every good work, reprobate. What a waste. What a waste. And then last, which I think is probably the best reason why, if we have to, starts to hurt us or our family or step away from these things, it's probably the best reason right here. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And they'll lead the ladies away. And I'll save that for another sermon sometime, but that's what's happened. That's what's happened. The men were taken out as a strong man, and the ladies were led away. And now he's got the kids and the grandkids. He's done what he needed to be done. But then somebody would say, look at Romans chapter 10. Somebody would say this, and they're right in saying it. So what's the problem, though? There is no more law for us to deal with that makes us a sinner as such. Well, that's true. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's true. He says in Galatians, for I through the law am dead to the law. I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Okay, so I want to live unto God. It just happens to be that we need to remind ourselves that to live unto God means, well, sure, we pray all the time. We have tears for people. We have grace. This living God would have us tell them the truth still in some form or another. Then he would say, well, of course you need to have mercy, you need to have long suffering, you need to have patience. Of course we should do that. That's what Paul preaches all the time. But there comes a time where we need to change that voice. There comes a time we need to reprove and rebuke. There comes a time we need to step aside. And if need be, off they go to the world. That's the hard stuff. He says in Romans, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So the law is not an issue here. Then one of my favorite ones, Romans 4:15, one of my favorite verses over here. Because the law worketh wrath. Well, that's true. For where no law is, there is no transgression. So if Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, there is no transgression. That's a marvelous position we're in. Marvelous place. Romans 4:15, is that right? Romans 4:15. That's marvelous. That's just a marvelous thing. Oh, God's grace, this is the dispensation of grace. Let's just live under His grace. Yes, but he says, yeah, do pray, be concerned for people. You're going to have tears for them. You're going to really hurt for them because you know they're getting caught up in stuff. You need to, don't forget to have grace, of course, but don't leave the truth out of the discussion. If you can get it in there somehow, somewhere, whatever form you can, not striving and arguing as such, and don't forget, we still need to have mercy and long-suffering and patience, but listen, don't forget, there comes a time we need to rebuke and reprove. Have to really work on those two words and change our voice sometimes because we doubt that they're getting it. So we got to, hey, can you get it? And doesn't mean louderness. Just change your voice, and then after a while, you got to. Here they are. Mark them, avoid them, reject them, shun, withdraw. Don't strive with them. Don't give them heed. Purge from them. Be not partakers. Have no company with. Cast off. Have no fellowship with. Reprove and rebuke. That's tough. And if that doesn't work, off to Satan they go. But we don't have to worry about that. We don't have any law. But let's review our strings on what we have to base our decisions on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. The people were hanging around. Sure, we can. Might not be a good idea, though. Not only are we ignoring the reasons why these people were told, why we were told to stay away from these people in due time, there's some other reasons. Well, 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me. That's true. That's true. But all things are not expedient. What's expedient? Expedient is fit or suitable for the purpose. Proper under the circumstances, is it the right thing to do? Expedient. Okay, so but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful. Sure they are. All things are lawful. Now, the second half of that is the second point of what liberty of Christ has to be. And that is, but I will not be brought under the power of any. There's two reasons right there. All things are lawful. We just don't have the law anymore. But all things aren't expedient. Those aren't the things we should be doing. And B, if it brings us under the power thereof. Under the power of any. Are we under its power? Sure we are. What do you constantly think about? What do you want to do that you can't quit thinking about? It's a power over you. You can't let it go for now. It's a power thing over you. That's probably the biggest problem with it. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. So we have these people, we have these things that we're supposed to be wary from and stay away from, and when it comes to that, when it comes to where it gets to be dangerous. We got the prayer, we got the mercy and the grace and the truth, we got all these things, but there comes a time. But we can be around them all the time. But it just might not be expedient to do so. The thing that you want to do might bring you under its power, so then why can't you stop it? And then 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things edify. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay? Edify. Edify means to build. To instruct and improve the mind in knowledge. Edify. Build it up. When you read something, kids, you should be edified. You should be built up. You've learned something instead of dragged down. We do something, it should edify. It shouldn't drag down. It shouldn't tear down. Our conversation, is it edifying or is it dragging down? Is it critical? Is it gossipy? Is it put down? Now, is it a learning thing? I mean, there may be some learning involved there in situations. That's, you got to know the answer to that question. And then Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. That's good. That's our calling, is under liberty, unto liberty. Only, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't just do something because it makes your flesh happy. What does this say in Timothy? Lovers of what? More than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures. Well, pleasures can appeal to the flesh. So, yeah, we've been called under liberty. Yeah, all things are lawful, but all things edify not. I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are not expedient. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And then lastly, Romans 14:21. You probably know what that is because you've kind of left out the one that we probably know more than any others. Romans 14:21. It says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Yeah, but see, all things are lawful. Yeah, but you know, it may be not the thing to eat right then. It may cause the brother to stumble. Actually, it may even offend him. Might make him weak. But all things are lawful, but you really shouldn't do that. It's just not, the timing is not good. Sure, you can play this. Sure, you can do this. But if somebody's got a problem with that, and they're struggling with that in their life, if you know that, then that's the last thing you need to get out for their sake. You know? If you got somebody who just fights and wrestles with the TV, then don't invite them over to watch a football game on TV. Or if you got somebody who just gets, their past was caught up in whatever it was caught up in, then don't put it in front of them. You know my story that with Cliff back in New York. He was a rock drummer for years, and he and I went through the history of Christian music and got into that stuff. We got to realize that he was having a hard time. By the time we were done to that session, he was shaking. So we dropped it. Said, we can't be doing this. This isn't right. So we learned the history of music and rock music and stuff. It's causing him to stumble, and it was a dumb thing to do anyway. So learn those things the hard way sometimes. Those are the strings I believe are attached to our liberty. All things are lawful. Hey, you can hang around who you want and what you want. The Bible is very clear. We ought not to. Even gives us reasons and warnings why. And yet, we're probably still going to do it. We're probably still going to marry into it. We're probably going to go party into it. We're probably going to go hang around it. We're probably going to buy it. In a couple of years, we're going to wonder why we did. And you're going to see the damage that it did. And then lastly, look at Philippians chapter 3. This is what we'll work on for Sunday. Or who knows when. I imagine Sunday, but every time I say that, it usually doesn't turn out. In fact, I'm behind two sermons already. Part 3 of our girls. Got to even start the boys series yet. And then the other one is part 3 of what modesty is, according to Paul. Part 3 is a tough one. Oh, I'm just hesitating. I think it's hesitating, not hesitating, but hesitating. I haven't got it done yet. I keep learning some things about it. But this one right here, I think we can finish this up. Philippians 3:17, where Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Then if these aren't the people we should see, and these aren't the people we should hang around, and these aren't the people we should let our kids go to, cameras, I'm looking over, wondering where the camera's at, and it's over here now. Make a lousy TV person, you know. Howdy doody, not Buffalo Bob and I wouldn't have clicked at all here. We've got these people and these things that we shouldn't be around, and we shouldn't fellowship, and we shouldn't, you know, that kind of a thing. Then who should we? What should we do? If back there in that situation, back there in that part of the country, in that particular family, and the kids say, "Okay, if we can't do this, then what can we do? Who do we see?" "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." So who should we see? Who should we mark in that fashion? We'll do that in part 2 whenever it shows up. Amen. There you go.